Hello and welcome to the Raisin Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. You know how we do, right in here, WKBY 1080 AM, Chatham, Virginia. We're in the series still. It begins at home. The Lord's been bringing some guests here that have been coming and rocking and rolling and just thinking and talking about some deep things of God and trying to spend a lot more time getting to know what God wants for our life. And today is no exception. I have had an opportunity today to interview Keisha Montfleury. She's a founder of Handiwork LLC and the CEO of Abundantly Authentic. Basically, she's doing a great thing with confidence coaching for young women and ladies. Let's get right into it.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
So far, so good. Looks like you got your morning started off early this morning with your Thursday morning.
That's me. That's morning chick.
We were talking about doing the video meeting a little bit earlier. You would have already been on Instagram already.
Yeah, I have a lot of energy in the morning, and then in the evening, I'm loop-de-loop. So,
I tell you what, I was up this morning since like 4, and I didn't want to be up that early anyway, and doing some other stuff, and just kind of not feeling like going back to sleep.
Yeah. But
now I start yawning and dozing off. I'm like, my day is like 8 hours in. I need a nap. Gosh.
That's what I tell people too. We need naps. And yeah. I seen this meme about like dear kindergartner. Sorry, I was mean to you when I was little.
Oh yeah. It's like that Snickers commercial too. It's like, it's a meaning that Snickers, but I need a nap. You know what I'm saying? It's like the whole diva part out of it.
Yes.
I'll be just fine. Thank you very much.
Yep. I used to be embarrassed over it, but now I'm like, you know what? Forget it. It is what it is. I need it. And
Well, they say it's good for us. They say it's good for us. Well, let's piggyback off your message that you talked about this morning, because that was actually part of the whole topic we were going to talk about today. So, and I could tell you were, it felt like you were on a crunch today. So I said, I know she probably got something else she want to bring. So, so as we kind of start off a little awkward for those who may be listening to the Raisin Men Show, as I go back to recut it, this is the Raisin Men Show. I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, and I've got Keisha on the video. For those who are not going to see the video, she's on the video. We're just listening to her talk this morning about parenting, and parenting begins at home. Keisha, tell the listeners about your program, because our programs kind of are almost opposite of each other, one for women, one for men, and you're a little bit farther down the road, and you've tailored your program in a certain way that you're actually one-on-one right now. So share that and how you're beginning that at home.
Yes. I would love to. Thank you so much, first of all, for having me just be able to be a voice on the Raisin Men Show. I am a big fan and I really appreciate it. I know it's Raisin Men, but I love it. My name is Keisha Montfleury, like you said, and I am the founder of a nonprofit called Abundantly Authentic. And I know it's huge words for our small girls, but I believe that the Lord had me start that ministry because I came out of an unhealthy relationship. So for our organization, what we do is we encourage our girls, our young girls, to know their worth through Christ. And not only girls, but the moms also, to remind them that it starts, like you're saying, it starts at home. Yeah. It starts with you. Not only is your girl looking at you physically on what a woman should look like, but also emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And what happened, a couple things happened that made me come to this realization. So one of them, like I said, coming out of an unhealthy relationship. The second part of it is my daughter, at that time, she was about 5 or 6 years old. She was staring at herself in the mirror one day. And as she was staring at herself, I'm looking at her like, what is she thinking about? Sure. And I asked her, like, what do you see when you look in there? And she turned and she pointed to me. And I was just not proud of the woman that she was pointing at. And it was just like a wake up call, I guess, if you can say it that way, of just a reminder of God's promise that he has come to give us life and give it more abundantly. And that's where abundantly comes from. And I wasn't living that life. And I just had to stop making whatever excuses that I had for myself and just reach out within And the crazy thing about that is that you hear a lot of people talk about self-esteem and different things like that. Mm-hmm. But what I was struggling with is that the programs and things that I'm seeing out there is letting our people and our kids know to care for selves, which is good. But the foundation is Christ. Like it's like an identity thing, you know? I can go into so much more because the Lord shared some things with me about that, about identity and all that stuff too.
I'm sure we'll cover that. So don't, like we talked about even before off air, this is a place, this is a healthy, safe home for you and another platform that you're always welcome to bring, because I know you have a son, right?
Yes, yes.
And I happen to be in a situation where I don't have any daughters. Mm-hmm. So it's easy for me to have a singular focus, a singular perspective, mm-hmm. But there's a lot of men out there, single fathers raising daughters, fathers in married relationships, dating relationships, relationships in general, that have daughters. They may not understand exactly what it takes to raise a daughter and look at it going, what am I supposed to do? And when she looks at herself in the mirror, like you're mentioning, I don't know how to understand in some cases what that feels like and what that looks like. From one side, it's easier. Oh, just feel good about yourself. But there's male and female. We have body imaging issues. We have just self-esteem issues, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. So it begins with those conversations for a mother. Mm-hmm. How do you help a dad get a perspective on how their daughter should feel about themselves when they look in the mirror, when they compare themselves to what social media says they should look like and what the influencers look like and say that we should look like? How do we help her?
Wow, that is so good. This is the first time the question is being asked from a male's perspective. And working in the child development field, I was a supervisor for a before and after school program. Mm-hmm. And I was starting to see more and more single dads, whether the mom left, whether, you know, just different situations happen. So for a dad, I would say, and I can only speak like kind of vice versa, because like you said, I have my son is 18 now, but their father is not in their life. I felt stuck in a position to be able to try to be mom and dad. And that's when the Lord reminded me, like, that is why it's very important that I'm going to go back to it, know our word through him, know your word, know what the Lord's expectations of us are, because I'm not a man. I'm not trying to be a man. Yeah. I'm not trying to think like a man, none of that. And that may sound harsh, because especially in a world where it's like, you know, women's rights, and I get all that. I get that. But there's a place where there's a time where we need to kind of step in our place. And I always tell people when I see, you know, other single moms and they ask me, like, how are you doing what you're doing or whatever the case is?
Yeah.
I let them know, like, first of all, you know, the Lord is walking me through that. So if you're a dad that is raising a girl, you want to make sure that you're able to reach out to your community and to different people that you trust, though. We don't want to just be throwing our kids out there.
No.
Not everyone should have access to our children. Not everyone should have access to our children. Yeah. So that makes me upset a little bit, because I do hear stories and I see things all the time, especially being in the field where people are, and it starts with with you as an adult making the decisions that you're making. And I know it can be so overwhelming sometimes. I know a couple months I went through that where I was like, I'm tired. Like, I'm tired of being a single mom. I'm tired of all the responsibilities being left on me. Every decision that I make in this household is going to affect everybody. Yeah. Any decision that I make, whether good or bad. But I want you to realize that unless you have a relationship with the Lord, then there's no other way, because then you're bringing people in your life that who doesn't need to be in there. They're being an influence over your children. And we have to be very careful with that. So I would say reach out to people that can help and support. And that comes in different ways too. You know, maybe you have, as a guy, your mom, you know, they're the grandparents of the children. Maybe you have a friend, and we want to be very careful with that too, with male and female friends. We don't want to, you know, just be careful with that. Cousins, family members, you know, whatever, whoever you have that's, that you feel comfortable enough to be able to speak to your daughter in the way that that is healthy, you know. We don't want to just, like I said, be giving anybody access to our kids.
Definitely. And I know we always love the Proverbs 31 woman in terms of what that spells out from a scriptural standpoint. And I was trying to help the older guys that I come across and understand that it's easy to talk about it and say that's what you want, but is that what you're attracting? Is that, do you think a Proverbs 31 woman really wants to hang out with you? I mean, what are we putting out there? I mean, it's easy to talk about it, but if we're not going to take time to actually be about it, then it's actually a wash. We're only going to attract those who are looking for what we're putting out. And so if we're putting out something that's contrary to that, if we're putting out something that looks funny, and for the guys that are out there, if you have a daughter and you may or may not have a community that's wide, or you do have a community that's wide, you just need to take advantage of it, like Keisha said, and approach those. Well, obviously pray first, because the Lord will show you who to get to for guidance. And even if you don't know how to even raise your own sons because you didn't have a father, you know, I always try to tell people, look, I wanted to be the best father that I didn't have. And I had a father in my home and nobody's perfect. And I want my sons to be able to look at me and say, hey, I love my dad, but he had some holes and some flaws. So I want to be the father to my kid that I didn't have. And I had to learn, this is actually a book I'm writing right now, that what fatherhood taught me. And so I'm trying to help the guys understand how you go through life with what life is teaching you. It's what fatherhood is teaching you, one thing of how to be through your childhood years. And we look at childhood as being one way, us. But when you get to be an adult, we're underdeveloped children as it is, trying to get through life and trying to do heroic things like you're doing. I love your posts, as a matter of fact. You're on Instagram a lot, and you're highlighting a young girl. Where did that concept come from? And how do you choose the one that you choose to really highlight for the day?
Yeah, well, the program that I have is based off of like 5 keys to a healthy confidence. So when I talk to the girls, whenever I do workshops, it is, I always tell the girls, we're not talking about the world system of what beautiful is, or what, you know, relationships look like. We need to peel that back. And I know the Lord has done a work in me where he has had to purge what I thought relationships look like or should be, and start to really show me just in different ways, you know, how healthy relationships look like. So as I'm walking through it, then he has brought people in my life, like you said earlier, like when you pray about that, even sometimes I don't even pray about it. He'll just either take a person out, bring a person in, and I have to be wise enough to be okay with that, you know? But just like I said, working in the field that I worked in child development, I have built relationships with parents, with families, with the community. So when the Lord told me to start Abundantly Authentic, you know, like I said, it's based off of the 5 keys, which is number one is knowing that you have a purpose. And what I believe is that we all have gifts, we all have skills, and we all have talents. And when you're marrying that, then you're walking into your purpose. And we want to remember that our first purpose is to glorify the Lord, right? And then after that, he'll walk you through what that is looking like. So me having he's given me the natural skills to be able to really have the desire and the, what do you call, like passion for the social emotional development of our youth. People can see that. So I've been in touch with kids that I've had since kindergarten all the way to high school now. So a lot of those girls that you see, or those families that you see, those are people that I've been knowing for a good 10 years now or whatever. And I see, and I have been an influence in their life, not knowing that's what I was doing. So when the Lord was bringing everything together, he started to show me some things, you know, when it was time, like, okay, you need to have a young girls program. These are the girls. You need to have a middle girls program. These are the girls. You need to have an older girls program. These are the girls, you know? And he does, for me, it's like a big puzzle piece, a big puzzle. And I can see pieces. I just don't know how it's going to connect. And then that's when it's time, like when he tells me, okay, Keisha, you need to do this. And then I do it. And then he'll open up the door for something else. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense, you know? So it's literally people will ask all the time, like, well, how did you know how to start the nonprofit? How did you know how to start the, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm literally following what he's telling me to do. And it will amaze you and it will blow your mind. But just, I have a deep desire to see our youth in a healthy way, because one thing that I realized and that the Lord showed to me is that the enemy is really coming after our youth. You know, that's where it starts. He's coming after our youth. And if we're not careful, there's a fine line. So if you're hearing, like I said, about self-esteem, about meditation, about self-worth, you know, that all sounds good, but where is that coming from? Like, where, you know, I've heard somebody say, like, the enemy has the best marketing plan out there. And I was like, yes, that is such a great way to say it, because I'm like, if he going in hard like that, then we need to step up in the body of Christ and go in also. So that's why sometimes the post might sound like kind of harsh, I feel like sometimes, but it's like, come on now, grow up. Let's stand up, rise up, you know, let's do what we need to do to make sure that we're having a healthy, you know, healthy, giving our kids the best opportunity to be able to be the best that they can be, you know?
But I love it because your posts are, we're not going to say aggressive. They're passionate, right? Because there's an easy way we can take the soft road, right? And pretend like it's, oh, come on, Keisha, don't take all that, right? You don't take all that hype and getting all super revved up for every Thursday come do that. Just take a break. It's not, you know, we just can just dial it back 100. But the reality, it does take that much. It does take all that and then some. And there's probably days when you may come back and look at the video and go, man, I could have hit that even harder. I could have been harder on this. Even days when we as parents aren't on video, we aren't on audio, we aren't on social media, and it's just us in our house, and we're like,
yeah.
When we realize, you know what, I need to go harder, because our kids need that push, because it begins at our home, and the programs that we're a part of and running are extensions of our home. But we've got to be able to drive, and there's just certain days when we just are like, oh, that's enough.
Oh yeah.
But we've got to keep going, because if we don't push, the kids are going to lay down.
Yeah.
And they're going to see that as a part of us.
Yeah.
Where do you get your motivation from? How do you get restarted? How do you get up out of bed, get started, and make the bed and go, you know what? I mean, and make the bed may be figurative, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because sometimes for me, when I get out of bed, if I don't make the bed right away, I feel like my day didn't start right.
Yeah.
But there's some days where I don't have time to make the bed, and the day's got to get right because I don't have a choice.
Yes.
How do you drive yourself, motivate yourself, be the confident Keisha through the days when you're not even really sure who Keisha really is today?
Well, I think you just said it. You said, I don't have a choice, you know? So it's either as a parent right now in the single season that I'm in, I do have a choice. I'll take that back. I do have a choice. I have two choices. I can either don't care, fall into whatever traps that, you know, society say I should fall into, or I can make a intentional, you know, way for myself and my children. And the only way that I know how to do that is through God, you know, like that's the only way. I know it sounds, and sometimes, like I said, if people ask, I'm like, I know this is going to sound like holy or whatever, you know, but it's the only way. Is if I gave you a rundown of my life, you know, I've been a believer for 5 years now, and it is not, my life is not what I thought it would be, obviously. Is a lot better because I know who I am. I know where the Lord has me going. And because I know that I have a purpose in this life, I cannot, even in the times that I'm tired, I'm drained, I want to give up. There's been a couple times where, a few times where I'm like, I'm throwing in a towel. I can't anymore. Yeah. Then you'll get a text message from somebody who was thinking about you, thinking about the things that you have going on. Yeah. You'll get a phone call. Yeah. You'll get, you know, random whatever. And it's just a reminder, a good reminder also too, is just about last month, I was having some doubts. You know, I believe that the Lord told me something and I could not, it didn't happen in the way that I thought it was going to happen. I know now that it was a test of my patience and my, because it did come to pass, but just not in the time that I believed that it was supposed to be, because, you know, we get into our own. But so I was having some serious doubts, like, am I really hearing the voice of God? Am I really? And then when you start with one doubt, and this is how I know the enemy messes with me in this way, is when I start to ask myself, did God really say that? And whenever I hear that, I know it's the enemy, because I think about in Genesis where he asked Eve that question. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I caught it really quickly. Like, yeah, God did say that, you know, but I was struggling. And I remember I had a dream about seals, like just a whole bunch of seals everywhere. And I was like, Lord, what was that dream about? You know, when it's from him, the dreams are kind of like 3D. I don't know how else to explain it. Yeah.
Sure.
But there are seals everywhere. I couldn't, you know, and I was just like, I know you're trying to tell me something. I just don't know what. So I'll continue to pray about it and sit on it. A couple days later, he told me, I want you to read Ephesians. And I was like, okay, you know, so I go in Ephesians and there's a part where he said, when we believed, we were brought with sealed, you know, we were sealed. And what I took from it was like, the Lord reminded me that you're mine. And I was like, and for him to magnify a whole bunch of seals in that way, it blew my mind. And I remember specifically like, I know I'm going to have my bad days. I'm going to have doubts. I know I'm going to have whatever I'm going to have, but I just love the fact that he's there for you when you need him, you know, he's there for you when you need him. So that just a reminder to know that he got me, you know, there's times where I'm like, why am I having to do this by myself? This is not fair. You know, you're not strong every moment of the day. And, you know, he'll remind me like, you're not by yourself. You have me. And I'm like, oh yeah, you have been providing all this time, you know? So you have your moments, and I always tell my girls too, don't let anyone tell you that things are perfect, because they're not. You just have to be intentional. And then this thing, it takes practice, you know, it takes practice to do what's needed. And then when I think about parenting too, like I said, I have my 18-year-old son, and I believe we connected maybe a couple years. I don't know how long it's been, but I remember there was a movie, Kingdom Men, that came out, and I just wanted to be so intentional with making sure that he seen, at least see, maybe not in the household, me as a physical representation of a man, but be able to see other men, that men of God are men, you know? So I took him to go see that movie. And when he seen it, I'm like, you know, you guys communicate differently. So I'm like, oh, maybe he didn't get nothing from it. Sure. But a couple days later, he was asking questions. And I was happy, but I was like, I don't know how to answer that. And that's when I think I was like, let me see, you know, let me see what's out there. And I just was like, I have to reach out, because, you know, being a single parent to a boy, to a male, you know, I always tell people, can it be done? Yes. But should it be done? That's not how God designed it, you know, and that's why we need to be very careful with who we connect ourselves with, because this is a consequence of me making my own decisions. And it's nothing, you know, I'm blessed to have the kids that I have. I'm just saying, like, it has its consequences if you are not living your life for him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And but people forget too, because it's easy to go, oh, she's single, she messed up, he's single, he messed up. But people understand, those are questions that you just raised, that we have to do that even in the context of a marriage, because it don't matter, because just because we said I do didn't really mean that we did. So if we don't follow Christ and be obedient. Because just last week, somebody asked me, what does obedience mean to you? And what does that look like to you? And I'm thinking, everything that you've said, for instance, we've been on, and so much I hear that you're on social media with is obedience. It's about listening to the voice of the Lord and following after what he says. And that's what that looks like on the days when you don't feel it, the days that you do feel some kind of way, on the days that you're passionate, the days that you're sad, the days when you just, damn it, don't care. And there's some days where we just don't know what to do next. And the enemy gets in that left ear, talking to us out of sideways and making us doubt, making us want to turn and look back or stop. Oh, Keisha, you don't need to do that. Come girls, I'll be okay. You know, if somebody else would do it, it really don't take all that. Just relax, you know, go watch a little bit more TV. You don't have to do your Thursday program today. You don't really have nothing to say. Ain't nobody listening to you anyway. Don't worry. You know, but I love the fact that you're keying in on it. You're listening to the voice because you know what the Lord's voice sounds like.
Yes.
Not the Lord speaking to you, that confirmation and that affirmation and that comfort. It's like, oh, okay, let me shake that off real quick.
And
we have to keep moving. And that's what I'm doing at the same time, because if we don't, we're done. You know, we're not able to lead our houses. Train up our children in the way they should go, because they're either going to go to hell or they're going to go to heaven. Not even just based on what we do, but they're going to go that way anyway, in spite of what we do. So we do something better and start, don't put any generational curses on our kids, or children's children, or and even if we have those issues that we're not willing to deal with, and we're on social media, and that transfer of spirit is a real thing. Where I'm faking the funk, and I'm gonna tell somebody else how to live their life. Well, that's gonna transfer. Also, those people are talking about be a fake and fraudulent as well. That's not where it's at. Obedience, as you're working through with your girls, have you seen it manifest at all? And you kind of go, oh, it is worth it because I see the change over there. That was worth it because she did something over there. Share a time that's generic where you can feel that, you know, on the day that you really didn't think that it mattered, someone brought that back to you. Oh, well, no, I think they're listening. They may not get it all the way.
Well, I have a few of them, but I'll take it back to like how we're, you know, the name of the series, it starts at home. I have my own children, my own girls, and my girls are tweens. So I have an 11 and a 12-year-old. And being able to see, I remember specifically before, you know, me and their dad separated, or I'm sorry, right after we separated, my daughter, the 12-year-old, she was little, but she didn't want to take pictures or, you know, I just noticed she was down all the time. She would hide when it came to taking pictures. And this was just as a mom, you notice those things. And, you know, I even took her to the doctor and they're like, is her grades okay? Okay, is she good? Is she doing this? She's good. But I knew inside, I'm like, something ain't right. Something ain't right. And if that's when the realization, like I said, came in, like, whoa, if I'm feeling like this as their mother, you know, imagine as a child, not really understanding, you see your parents and then all of a sudden you don't, you know, that must be a lot, but you come now, that was about, they were six, so 5 years. We have a 12-year-old who still to this day mocks almost everything I do. I drink tea. She wants to drink tea. I'm on this. I'm on my laptop. My laptop. I got them a computer for their stuff. She wants to be on my stuff. I'm wearing these earrings. She wants earrings like that. So I bring that up because, and the little one is the same way, just maybe in different ways. Her attitude, you can see it in my attitude. I can see it in her. And they'll remind you, like, you know, well, I want to do what you want to do. And it's just a bigger reminder that this, what I'm doing does matter. And the Lord reminded me too, like you said, it starts at home. This is your first clients, your first, you know, whatever you want to call it. This is where it starts. So like you said, I cannot be on here faking the funk, and everything that I do is when I get on, is the Lord, you know, is the Lord telling me I will not get on. There was a while, like you said, like kind of through social media, I was just kind of feeling you get all type of, you know, inboxes and stuff like that. And for a while, I was like, I'm not doing it no more, Lord. Like, I'm not getting on here for that. I'm very, like, reserved and very, so when I get on with that boldness, it's the Lord. There's no other way I can explain it, because people will tell you, like, I'm very observant. I'm quiet in the background unless, you know, the Holy Spirit is, you know, leading me to do something. So I'm saying at home, it starts at home. And I tell my kids all the time, too, that I can have a relationship. I have a relationship with the Lord, but I cannot have one for you. So you will not leave my house without knowing of the Lord. Now, that's your decision to, you know, to build your relationship with the Lord and to, you know, but I can't do it for you, you know. So it's just the reminder of that, too, because the Lord reminded me that they were his before they were mine. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm scared though, what's gonna happen out there. He's like, the same way that you had to go through what you had to go through to get to me, or you know what I'm saying, for the realization, for you to surrender, fully surrender, is the same way that I'm going to do what I need to do for them to. And I'm like, okay, Lord.
All right. Yeah, well, that's a tough point, because even right now with this whole whatever, this pandemic that we in, not in, fake or fraudulent, mask, no mask, whatever people's beliefs are, I actually had still struggle with, do I let him go outside? Do I let him go to, like, my 12-year-old, he's actually in class over here off to my left, but he has to go on campus for 2 days a week.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know he probably needs it. And it was frustrating to come to that realization and accept that he needed something that was different from the others and different from my schedule that had gotten a little bit rigid and I got comfortable with, but he needed that.
Yeah.
And I had to take my own, some kind of way, an embarrassment or whatever you want to call it, out and let him go get what he needs and become the better parent and learn to let him go. But it was still tough to, okay, now you're at school, what are we going to do about that? Mm-hmm. And they got the corona, and I don't want you to bring that back to us and make him feel some kind of way about it. And when he's here, I'm thinking, the corona jumping off of him. Why are you in my office? Why can't you go get somewhere else? Leave me alone. I mean, because I like my space, you know? I'm an introvert, too. And I got to deal with customers on the phone all day. And I'm like,
yeah.
Can you please? No, I don't want to fix your computer right now. No, don't push. No, you did it anyway. Oh, come on, man. You know? And then I'm in here. Dad, can you do this? Dad, can you check my router?
Yeah.
Like, I'm customer support on the phone. I'm customer support at the house. I'm the lunch man. I'm the nurse. I'm the counselor. I'm security guard. I'm the.
You valet. Sound like me. I'm like, I'm your Uber driver. Exactly. I'm your counselor. I'm your pastor. I'm your. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They made that song. I mean, no, I'll go there, but you know, we're going to leave that one alone. But, you know, but I wanted to at least make it fun, but then I'm making it fun. I had one time, I think it was 2 days ago, one kid was over my right shoulder. Dad, can you help me with these questions on human anatomy? I'm like, oh, wait, are you 14? Who said you could take that anatomy class? Anyone think, well, there's a paper I missed or something? I said, well, tell you what are you doing? Oh, it's a quiz. I can't help you with the quiz. Go sit on the computer and you search, ask a different question till you find the answer. So I had one over this side, one over there. I'm like, stuck. But we don't have any choice but to be obedient, because it is better than sacrifice. We sometimes think that if I just do this, it'll be okay. Mm-hmm. If I just do that, it'll be okay. Well, if I didn't hear the Lord tell me this or that, it ain't okay.
Yep.
How would you help a parent that's in these programs? I know we work with the girls. You work with the girls. Mm-hmm, I work with the guys, and we talk a lot. I do more with parents right now than the kids. I got a house full of kids. That's enough. That's enough. But to helping a parent understand their daughter and how, when you're working with them, there's something that you notice, you can help a parent Just do this. Turn your parenting this way. How do you, how would you help a parent? How do you help your parents do better?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I love that question, and I'll try to cut it down because I can go on and on. Because my background, I have my degree in child human development. So anything, like I said, the social, emotional, I was working with the after school kids for the school agers for 10 years. So whenever it comes to parenting, it's just, I'm a parent, so I'm not trying to judge anybody, and, you know, we're not perfect. But most of the time, the kids need someone to listen to them, actively listening to them. You don't have to give your opinion all the time about things that they got, how they're feeling, how they're going on, you know, because they're human beings also, you know, they're a person too. I would say, think about yourself as an adult. Remember, we were talking earlier and I'm like, oh, I'm more of a morning person. If you talk to me in the evening, you're going to get a whole bunch of yeses or nos without me fully understanding what you're talking about, because I'm tired.
Yeah.
The kids, they have that too. Some kids are more morning. Some kids are more, you know, observe your child so that you're able to make a connection in the way that you need to for the child. I remember reading Love Languages, but they have the different versions, and they have teenage and children. And I love it so much. It was so rich in like what he was saying is like, what your child in elementary school might have needed might not be the same thing for your teenager, because they're evolving. They're different people. Yeah, I mean, not different people, but they're evolving into growing into an adult or whatever the case is. So you want to make time for your child. You want to actively listen to your child. You can have one-on-ones. And these are things that I do myself. I would not come on here saying or suggesting anything. Having one-on-ones with their child. I have three of them, and even the 18-year-old still to this day, since I started them, he literally, and I said, he's a boy, the communication is different. So I'm frustrated in my head, but I have to realize like, okay, Keisha, just relax. And I remember one time I was like, oh, he don't need it. I'm just thinking that in my head. And I did the girls, and then he was like, where's my one-on-one? And I was like, wait, you don't, okay, all right, you know? And then that's when, I put two and two together, he wants my time. He wants to just, even if it's just sitting there, he wants to be seen and he wants to be heard. So in those times of our one-on-ones, we're able to communicate. I'm able to hear some of his concerns. I'm able to talk to him more intimately for what he's needing at his age, or, you know. So having one-on-ones, talking to them, being active listeners, and paying attention to the things that they need. When you think about the love languages, for instance, you have some people who are more gifts. I'm more of a words of affirmation and acts of service type of girl. So the way that someone shows their love to me, if you're buying me a gift, I might not value it as much as you might think I should. Whereas if you're complimenting me or you're washing the dishes, I'll say a lot. You have my love right there with just cleaning the house and washing.
Yes. That should be a love language in itself. That should be washing dishination. Yeah. Sorry. My bad. I didn't really
interrupt you. Sorry. Yeah. So, I mean, it's the same for the kids. You're just in an adult version, or, you know, they might not be able to speak about how they feel. A fine example too is like my nephew. My nephew is 13 years old. And I remember asking him, what do you guys eat at home? And he got so stressed out. And I was like, wait, why are you stressed out? He's like, Auntie, the way you asked the question, it was too much. You have to be more specific. And I was like, and I started to think like, wait, is that how, I remember one time you were talking about a book that, you know, about men are like waffles and women like spaghetti. Okay. Yeah. So I thought about that immediately and I was like, oh, so I said, what do you guys eat for breakfast? He was like, that's better. Yeah, that's better. Now I can answer that. And I was like, oh, is that how? So this is how guys are. You know what I'm saying? Like, whereas the women, you ask me what I'm eating, I'm telling you what I like, what I don't like.
Yeah.
So it's just being in tune with that, you know, getting the resources just from listening to the Raising Men show. I've learned a lot that I'm able to contribute to my household, or from listening to, you know, different podcasts or different, you know, things like that. I'm able to glean what's for me, and be able to make whatever adjustments I need to make in my household, and just take it from there. But just, I would say, active listen, making time for your children, and just remember that you have needs and they have needs also, giving them that respect, you know? And I know that sounds crazy for, you know, older people, like, respect, you know? But you know what I'm saying? Let's try something different here, you know? Like, actually make the time for the kids, listen to what they have going on, get their input on things, you know, like have them help you make dinner or different things like that. Then they'll be more apt to eat it, or they feel like they contributed. So you know, the conversations will be a little bit more richer in the household. It's a lot of things. I can go on.
No, I love it because you're confirming some things, and I love to talk to other people who are in the boats with us. We may be rowing different ways, or our motors going in different directions, but there's moments when we come across each other saying, hey,
yeah.
Well, no, we don't have great coupon because the kids don't like it. They're like mustard them, you know, but at least we can go through that. I've do that now, where the kids make dinner, you know, see me posting about the food the kids are making, try to take pictures, because some of them like to see their stuff out, and I use more of their faces on the post sometimes, because some of them like to see themselves, and I'm trying to be, like you said, purposeful in what I'm doing, because some of them like that word of affirmation. Some of them just like to see, dad picked my picture this time. And some of them that are the more quiet ones, you don't really know if they're really paying attention, like you said, but sometimes you need to do that. But that comes out of obedience to the Lord. You just don't do a purposeful thing without the Lord saying, be purposeful with this child. Put these processes in place to help you understand who they are. It's all the obedience.
Yeah.
Opportunity. Yes. I love it.
I wanted to say really quick, I'm sorry, before you, your little one, Jackson, I believe it is, he went online, and this is a good example of that. Cause I think when he went on, he even said, like, I'm not being forced to do this. Like, I'm doing this on my own. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that stood out, you know? So when he was explaining about his grades and different things going on, and like how you were saying earlier, you just feel sometimes, I'm like, you know what? I was slacking a little bit. Grades got out of hand, you know? And, you know, so then you get, like you said, I have to give my kids what they need, you know, even if it's embarrassing sometimes. But that's what we have been going through with the girls. Just because it's different with the distance learning. It's very different. So we're all adjusting. But their grades started to slip. And I showed them that video. I was like, and it gave me a little bit of relief, like, whoo, I ain't the only one.
It felt like I was by myself. I'm like, Lord.
So I wanted to thank you guys, especially him, because I showed it to my daughter. And I had parent-teacher conferences earlier this week. And, you know, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to be real. This transition is just so hard for all of us. The teachers understood. But my daughter brought up your son. She was like, well, I'm going to stay up just like he said. I was like, well, wait, you do what you do for you, but I don't think you're going to be able to stay up and stuff like that. But she really like took in the video, took him what he said, and really she already brought a couple of her grades up. But it's things like that. It's that simple to see something that's relatable, and because they're the same age, I believe. Yeah, 12? Or 12. 12. Yeah, they're the same age. So I was telling her, like, he's the same age as you. So look what, you know, listen to what he's saying. And I just showed it to her and then just let it be, because, you know, that's already a lecture in itself. She's probably thinking, like, who does he think he is?
Yeah.
Now she expect me to know. I'm just showing it to you. Yeah. So I really appreciated that. So it's stuff like that that you're able to just connect with your kids about, and look at the outcome of just something for him using his voice, because you allowed him to be able, you have opened up that space for him to be able to do that. And, you know, like, it reaching, it's paying it forward. That's how I see it.
Well, I appreciate it because when in doing things like that, some people used to tell me, dude, that's a little too transparent. And I did a series several years ago that was Truth and Transparency that was coupled right along with Teachable Moments, because you have to be able to do this. And we started the Raising Men show, oh man, was it 2014, I believe? And I did them on YouTube at first. And then 2015, we got an opportunity to actually get on air and do it. Oh. And I always was passionate after their mom died because I didn't want any other man to not have any hope and a place to pull and draw from. And the more we move forward, it's like, hey, if there's another guy out there going through what we're going through and the parent out there going through what we're going through, here's something to help you. It may not be right, but at least here, have a lighthouse that you can at least see some light and move in a direction towards the land. There may be some rocks coming into that reef, but at least you're closer in knowing that you're just not out in the middle of the ocean by yourself. Yeah. And that's what we felt for so many years afterwards. Mm-hmm. But even doing this, you don't know where you were going sometimes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Back to the obedience part.
Yes.
And it begins at home, and we can't do anything that the Lord doesn't want us to do and expect a result that's positive.
Yep. Yep.
If you had to do it over with any part of your program, any part of anything, what would it be?
Honestly, I wouldn't. I would, everything that I, let me see if I could pull this verse up really quick.
Sure.
But it's a great reminder. I think it's Timothy. What is it? Let me see real quick.
No worries.
But it just shows, the intentionality of our Lord, you know. As challenging as it may be in the season of my life, I would not change it for the world.
Wow, that's awesome.
I would not change it. I've seen my life without him, and I've lived a life without him. And I have seen what that does. And I can't go back, you know, and everything, like I said, is very, very intentional. I see it, you know. It's 1 Timothy 1:12. And it says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance. I'm sorry, I'm going to get a little bit emotional. And unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Like, if you really... like, he chose me, you know, even though I was once those things, you know, like, he chose me, he gave me a reason and a purpose. And I think that's what it all, like, boils down to, you know.
Well, the verses you're given, I love the 15th verse because it goes on to say, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Because a lot of folks, times it's so easy to point scriptures to other people and take those scriptures out that don't apply to me because I don't like them. Mm-hmm. We think of ourselves as a sinner and we forget the saved by grace part.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, I'm the leader of all the people that do the bad things too, you know, but social media doesn't want us to come off like, oh, no. Because the influencers aren't the ones that are out there doing the dirt. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Even though sometimes those airplane windows are really the dryer door with the camera correctly, creatively, you know, set up just such a way, you know what I'm saying? Yes. Where it's not all an act for everyone. And I laugh sometimes because people look, oh, Craig, that brick wall behind you. Oh, man, you got a cool brick wall office. No, that's paneling. That's pressboard like, cardboard on top of some little thin wood, and somebody else painted it. And when I scrape it off a little bit, that's a cardboard box underneath that's glued to some wood. Yeah. It's not a brick wall. It looked pretty. But we have this more to us than just on the surface.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the passion that you have, because I love 14 when you said, and the grace of the Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Because that's where I think some of the crux of your program is being abundantly authentic, because it's the with faith and love.
Yes. Yes.
Which is in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. It exudes from you.
Yes.
And seeing the smiles on the girls' faces, the posts, they know that they're loved. And I'm sure they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have an abundant or exceeding love for them. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, so those days that you really are probably wondering, you know, is it really worth it? Yeah, it is. It is. Because like you said before, earlier in the show, you said you're paying it forward. These are opportunities with these girls that are involved with your program and parents too. That's the blessing we talk about. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Well, so step back. The scripture says God will throw open the windows of heaven. Not just squeak them open a little bit, but he'll throw them open.
Yes.
And pour out a blessing in our life. That's so too much for us to handle in our hands, right? And even back then, looking at just how the scripture was even laid out, the background is that that was grain back then. That's smashed. Yeah. That's why you got to press those grain shells down. And you know, as if you were loading up the burlap sacks back then. Yeah. And you want to keep kind of bring that bag up more and press it down and shake it together. And then it gets to a point where that bag can't expand anymore and that grain is running over. And it's now around our feet, right? And these are these people who are getting blessed on just our overflow. And then someone else will actually take that grain and do something with it, make bread and make a meal and feed them. And they're still getting people getting blessed on even those leftovers. So, stay into the windows of heaven. He's got you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
No worries. No worries. What's the future look like, you believe? Where is the Lord taking you? I know we talked about, we just don't know, but where is there's a place, I believe, where the Lord is showing you, Keisha, you're going to go this way. And I know what it looks like when you get there, but where is taking, leading you in your program, do you believe right now?
Well, like I said earlier, I imagine things as a big puzzle. My life as a big puzzle. I can see pieces here. And I know from the very beginning, he told me I would be talking to young girls. I didn't see how that would happen. And it's happening. He told me worldwide. I didn't see how that would happen. But with coronavirus, I've been able to do workshops online with girls from Illinois, from Belize, from, you know, I've been out to Mexico, Philadelphia. It's happening, maybe not the way that I thought, you know, but it is happening. And I know the Lord, when he said, gave me the ministry, it, like I said, it's worldwide. So like the other, just before Corona, he told me you need to, well, he had been telling me for a year or so, go get your passport, go update your passport. And I'm like, it ain't that serious, you know, like whatever. Cause sometimes I'm like, I'll do it when I, and he's like, okay. So I'm like, so I went to go get my passport. And recently he told me again, well, I went to go get mine, but he told me you need to go get the girl's passport. And I was like, and then my son, you know, he's a little bit older, so he's going to pay for his. So I was talking to him about it. But the Lord just reminded me, like, this is worldwide. So with the nonprofit, I've been given opportunities. We went to Mexico so that we're able to, you know, partner with people to go do stuff over there. And I have literally just last week, I met with a friend who has her own nonprofit. And the Lord reminded me that I used to want to go to Africa. I didn't know where, I didn't know why, I didn't know how, whatever. But she's from Uganda. Wow. And she partnered with another organization that teaches our American, African-American, you know, brothers and sisters about African, then they have a program and they go and they take them, and they is a tour and everything. And she was asking me what kind of program, if I can implement a program. And then, you know, obviously when we implement the program, I'm going to be involved. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then somebody else emailed me the other day and was like, oh, I started a nonprofit in another part of Mexico for young girls, and you were the first person that came to mind. And I was like, and remember just a couple weeks ago, the Lord was like, get the girls' passports, you know, get the kids' passports. And I was like, that's why, because the opportunity is, I can see it, you know? So I can see worldwide, that's what he told me, but little, like, for me, myself, I don't like to be the center of attention or anything like that. So this is a lot for me. But he said, you're going to have like little abundantly authentic. It's going to be worldwide, but the ministry itself is not going to be like a big, you know. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I don't need that responsibility. I don't need all that responsibility. So with the nonprofit that, and then with the, because I have the LLC also, it melts. The LLC is more for the community, because I would go into the schools and they would say, you can't talk about God in the schools. And I think that's where the passion comes in, because I'm like, don't you know that that's the reason why it's crazy here? Because they don't have the Lord. And my mom was telling me, because I was like, you know, one of those times I give up, I'm done. No one cares. And my mom was like, it's because you're going against what they, you know, remember, we talked about agenda, we talked about the enemy, you're going against what they're trying to, the message they're trying to give the children. So you have to keep going, because you're one of the voices that they need. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I see big things, but not big things, if that makes sense. Like big, like worldwide, having, you know, small connecting, but still a small ministry, because, yeah.
Well, it's the framework of what you do, right? So you see that vision.
Yes.
Got a skeleton on it.
Yes.
And when we look at, watch a home being built, and you watch the framework go up. Yes. And then there's walls put in, and then there's paint put in, and then there's a roof on the top. I'm sure the order is out of, you know, order. Yeah. I'm not a construction person, but it's just the way that it is, where it has to have a backbone. You can't put a house up without a frame.
Yes.
Build a brick home in a place where the ground is always moving. You've got to build it with a flexible group. You can't put concrete in a place that's shaking the ground without having tension in there to be able to allow the, you know, or putting seams in it to allow the concrete to expand without cracking. Yes. So the Lord is, he's giving you a foundation. He's giving you the vision of where to go and the things in your life to make you who you are. So you'll be able to understand and take them there. And same thing with the rest of us. Oh, no worries. I thank you for joining, and keep the messages, keep the text messages coming, keep the Thursday, you know, inspirational moments, you know, going, and send me any information that you want. I will post on the social media, so when this will air, so we'll be prepped. I definitely need a picture, so we need to do that for social media as well. And a way that you would want the parents to contact you in there as well, because we want to make sure any parent, you know, mothers out there trying to get their daughters hooked up with their program, looking for a mentor, part of the worldwide reach, we need to get that. We're definitely behind
you. Yes, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
WKBY 1080 AM. We keep blessing you.